We continue to read from the book of Jonah. Started yesterday. Jonah looks a little bit better in this reading than he did yesterday, where he was running away from the Lord. And then in the gospel, we have the famous story about Martha and Mary, whom we know now as Saints Martha and Mary and their brother Saint Lazarus. But in this passage, Martha has not yet arrived at great sanctity. She's a complainer. Well, there's a lot to learn from these readings. Let's start with Martha and Mary. It looks like Martha's in the wrong and Mary's in the right, but that's not exactly correct. It's not as if we have to choose between active service and hidden humble submission. It's not as if those are mutually exclusive. What Jesus says is, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. That one thing is the will of God. The one thing is to listen and respond to the will of God, to do what God wants. If God wants you to serve at table, well, then that's what you should do without anxiety, without judgment or complaint. If God wants you to sit quietly at the feet of the Lord and listen, well, that's what you should do. But either way, it should always be in response to the will of God. So it's not to be either Martha or Mary. It's to be Mary, whether you're Martha or not. Now, this is a really important lesson for us in our day, because we have the tendency, probably more than in any other era of human history, to focus on busyness, on activity, a kind of endless restlessness has gripped the human family. And people have the idea that that's the way it's supposed to be. And if you're not doing and doing and doing and posting on your social media, well, then there's something wrong with you. So to be simply sitting quietly, hidden, without producing anything, looks to the world like something is wrong with you. You're not fulfilling yourself. So it's a good lesson to be told, no, that's not the measure of value at all. What came to mind as I reflected on this was the life of Jesus himself. Jesus, who by the time he was 12, was very capable of impressing people with his teaching. Remember that incident in the temple when he's 12 years old. But after that, and he said, he announced, I have to be about my Father's business. I have to be in my Father's house. But then it was clear to Jesus that it was the Father's will that he go back to Nazareth and remain in the hidden life for years. Now, he didn't do nothing. He worked as a carpenter. But it looks to the world like he did nothing. He didn't do any great teaching. Apparently didn't do any miracles. So did he waste his time for those, whatever it was, 20 years? No. He did the will of the Father. He did exactly what he was supposed to do, and no one noticed or cared. So it's very possible that absolute obedience to the will of the Father might look to others like nothing. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Don't take on the Martha-ism of our age, or think that doing of itself is necessarily good. In fact, we had a very stern warning about this on Sunday. Remember the workers in the vineyard. The workers, the hired tenants, they did work. They worked hard. They got a harvest. But they didn't give it or any share of it to the owner of the vineyard. So their busyness, not only was it not a good thing, it was actually a bad thing. They were working for themselves against the master. It's possible for us to be very, very busy. Looks like we're doing a lot of good things, when in fact we're not doing the will of God. Okay, so that's one of the lessons we get from Martha and Mary, to be actively receptive to the will of God and do the will of God. Make that the one thing. That's the one criterion to follow. Sometimes God wants us to be busy. Sometimes God gives us a lot of work to do. Okay, then do it. Do it with peace of heart. Jonah had to learn this lesson. We studied him yesterday and saw how he did exactly the wrong thing. God called him to go to Nineveh, and he went to Tarshish, or tried to. Now, we know that God stopped him, and he ended up in the belly of the great fish for a couple of days. And you know, being swallowed up like that does change your perspective on life. And he comes out of the fish a little bit humbler and a little bit more ready to do the will of God. Now, that might sound like, you know, such a fantastical detail, but anytime we're stopped, we're confined, we're forced to reevaluate our life, we really do get a new perspective. Anyone who's been in the hospital knows this. Once you're confined in the hospital, life looks a lot different. You might be 3 days and three nights in the ICU, or 3 days and three nights, you know, with an illness, or in jail, or stranded. You know, there's no flights or something. There's ways God boxes us in, and we start to realize, oh, what we thought was so important is not that important. One of the great lessons of the COVID era. All the things that we thought we should be doing all the time, well, maybe we didn't have to do that. Okay, so Jonah comes out of the whale, and he goes to Nineveh. The Lord says to him, go to the great city and announce to it the message I will tell you. And he does it. Well, it looks like he does it. But look at the message that he proclaims. 40 days more and Nineveh shall be destroyed. I'm not sure that's the whole message. I'm not sure that that's the whole message that God wanted Jonah to announce. Because if we look in the scriptures, when God announces any kind of disaster or punishment, it's in order to alert people to their sin and call them to repentance. So it's not enough simply to say, you're going to be destroyed, you're going to be destroyed, you're going to be destroyed. That's not the whole picture. The real message, and I think it has to be so, because this is how God thinks, turn away from sin or you'll be destroyed. Or you will be destroyed if you don't turn away from your sin. It's a conditional prophecy, not an absolute declaration that you're going to be destroyed. But Jonah, who we know is not that interested in their turning away from sin, he really wants Nineveh to be destroyed. We'll read about this tomorrow, where he's so disappointed that Nineveh didn't get destroyed. Well, that's Jonah's distortion of the message he was given. But even though Jonah was reluctant, and even though Jonah wasn't that great a preacher, in one day, the whole city repents. The huge city repents. In a remarkable wave of repentance, from the king down to the animals. Now this tells us something, going back to the image of Martha and Mary. Even when we do active works, even when we are Martha, the effect of our efforts does not come from us. It comes from God. And if people are responsive to God, God can use us as an imperfect instrument. So Jonah is no great, holy, effective preacher, but he's an instrument of God. And the people of Nineveh, because God gave them the grace to repent, they turned away from their sin. Beautiful on their part, but humbling on Jonah's part. He could say, I didn't even get to everybody yet. I didn't even get a chance to tell them they're going to be destroyed, and they're already changing their minds. I'm sure if you reflect on your own life experiences, you know that there's a lot of examples where things happen that are way beyond what you tried to do or even did do. I know this certainly as a preacher, as a person. I give a lot of talks and homilies, and I'm sometimes disappointed in myself. I don't think that was a very good talk. I don't think that really reached people. I can see people falling asleep. Okay. But then afterwards, someone says, oh, I realized this or that really moved me. So, well, it certainly didn't come from me. That was God at work in the heart of a person who is receptive to God's grace. And if I was the Jonah, well, Okay. But the credit doesn't go to the preacher. The credit doesn't go to the Martha. The credit doesn't go to us. It goes to God, who moves people's hearts. So it's a good and humble awareness to have that even our best efforts are not what changes the world. It's God who changes the world, but he invites us to participate in the work. We are his disciples, his missionary disciples, his instruments. So we do have to do our work because we have to respond with a yes to God, whether that yes means absolute silence for 20 years or whether that yes means active works for 20 years, it's up to God. And the effect is both up to God and to the responsiveness of the people. You could be the most wonderful hostess like Martha, and if there was no receptivity on the part of the guests, it would seem like it all went to waste. Okay, so we are invited here to be like Mary interiorly, to choose the one thing necessary, to choose the better part and not let it be taken away from us by our judgments, by our preoccupations, by our anxieties, by our concern about how effective we are, by our desire about the outcome. Those things all just distract us. Let's keep our hearts fixed on the one thing necessary, the better part, and let God take care of the rest. Don't be distracted by the phone call. Amen.